This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
This Thanksgiving, you might notice your grocery bill is less than it was in years past, as U.S. grocery prices have fallen for 10 straight months. On the other end of the supply chain, farmers are still receiving pennies on the dollar for the food products they produce, even as retail food prices fluctuate. The farmer's share of each dollar spent has remained consistently low, according to Rob LaRue, who's the Senior Vice President of Public Policy and Communications at the National Farmers Union.
A common misconception is that farmers are getting rich off the prices consumers pay at the grocery store, but that's just not the case. Many consumers may not realize there's a difference between the price that they pay at the grocery store and the volatile market price for agriculture products like beef, wheat, potatoes, and dairy. In fact, farmers and ranchers only receive an average of 17.4 cents of every food dollar that consumers spend in the United States. And according to the United States Department of Agriculture, 80% of every food dollar spent goes to all farm costs of our food system, including marketing, processing, wholesaling, distribution, and retailing.
Each month, National Farmers Union distributes what's called the Farmer's Share, which is an online resource that shows the relatively small percentage family farms receive from each dollar spent on popular food items like meat, milk, bread, eggs, and produce. This holiday season, National Farmers Union is taking their educational efforts a step further and asking consumers to consider the mere pennies that farmers are receiving for the food that's enjoyed at their Thanksgiving dinners.
Part of educating consumers about how and where the food is produced is helping them to understand the food industry supply chain. For example, if a consumer buys a turkey for their Thanksgiving meal, the average retail price at Safeway is $1.59 per pound. I think most people would be surprised when they hear that turkey farmers only receive 89 cents per pound of turkey. For other food items, the off-farm costs are even greater. An example is dinner rolls that retail for $3.29. The off-farm costs account for about 98%, while the farmer receives less than 2 cents of each dollar spent.
Less than 2% of the U.S. population farms, and many consumers are more than one generation removed from the farm. Through efforts like the Farmer's Share publication, the National Farmers Union, which represents nearly 200,000 family farmers nationwide, works to develop a better understanding of how and where food is grown across the country.
With the convenience of picking up your Thanksgiving turkey and other food items at the grocery store, it's easy to overlook the months and years of effort that it takes to grow and raise crops, fruits and vegetables, and livestock. National Farmers Union would like to remind consumers to appreciate the hard work it takes to grow and produce the foods that find its way to your Thanksgiving dinner. As you're enjoying time with family and friends this holiday season, take a moment to think about the family farmers and ranchers who produce the food, fuel, and fiber for America's consumers.
And if you'd like more information about the Farmer's Share Project, you can visit the National Farmers Union website. Well, the election's over, but discussions about the president-elect are far from it. While I've mentioned before that much of the ag industry is not sure what to expect from the new administration, Chuck Spencer, who's the executive director of corporate and government relations for Growmark, seems to think that farmers' interests will be supported.
It's all about the transition at this point in time. And I tell you, we have seen messages from President Obama that have been very thoughtful from the standpoint of the nation, the transfer of power in a democracy. And I think that's one thing. We go through a contentious election, and as voters and Americans, we somewhat overlook how we expect this orderly transition of power. And it is a very respectful process. I think President Obama's messages have been very thoughtful from when George Bush handed off the reins of the presidency to President Barack Obama. Barack Obama says he wants to extend that same type of not only courtesy, but professionalism to President-elect Trump. And I think that's going to be important for all of us.
You had mentioned to me that one thing Trump has talked about or has been in support of is infrastructure. And we both know how important that is for agriculture, whether it's rivers, roads, whatever it might be. Maybe just talk to that a little bit.
That is one of the few things on the priority list, and he said a number of things over the first 100 days that want to be accomplished. But infrastructure has been a more recent comment once again. It's been a focus for presidential candidates and now President-elect Trump. We have to be focused in agriculture on the very priorities that we've been working so hard on. We want to make sure that the riverway system gets updated to 1,200-foot locks. That's an infrastructure program. Many of those can be job-ready. That's going to be important. Our roads and bridges, we know for quite some time that we've needed assistance in the improvement of those types of projects, and that with the crop production increasing, our ability to be in a world marketplace most efficiently and gain that competitive advantage, we will need a smooth transition between the field to the roads, to the ports, and then on the international seaways to make sure our grains and our commodities that we want to export get there in a competitive fashion.
Chuck, as always, a great update. Is there anything else that you want to mention related to what's happening in D.C., related to the election results?
January 20th is when inauguration begins, and then the first 100 days ends on April 29th. I think what's important to know is that I'm already watching the transition teams being assembled, and I think this administration, the new one that is coming in, is looking at taking business leaders, and they're peppering it with experience. And I know there's always this discussion that seems to be permeating. What is going to transpire? The names that I'm seeing involved with transition teams have been involved with previous administrations. I also think there's going to be a great emphasis on practical experience. And look, when you look at the agricultural leader team that was for Trump and was organizing itself across the nation, I know that a number of individuals were always talking about practicality, understanding the regulatory challenges that farmers face, how those could be tweaked and changed, amended to where they would work better and practically on the farm. I think that farmers are interested in being good stewardships. Water quality, watershed management is a focus, and we're going to see that in the next administration.
Executive Director of Corporate and Government Relations for GrowMark, Chuck Spencer. In some world ag news, Great Britain's exit from the European Union may open the door for British farmers to grow genetically modified crops. British officials are drawing up plans that could allow GM crops in the future. Britain's ag minister said the government's general view remains that policy and regulation in this area should be science-based. Numerous scientific studies have shown the safety and benefits of genetically modified crops, but are largely ignored across the EU. Only one type of genetically modified crop has ever been grown commercially in Europe. A UK farmer told the website called Farming UK that exiting the European Union means Britain is open for business when it comes to GM crops, adding that farmers wouldn't choose to grow them unless they saw benefits. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.